We're outside the Lakeside Stadium Gate 1, but and right in front of us is the wonderful statue of Peter Norman. Isn't it wonderful that there is a statue of Peter Norman?
Yeah, what is actually wonderful is the actual... All the badges are there.
Yeah.
The Project for Human Rights, which is what he stood for, is the prominent badge. Above his Australian Olympic blazer pocket. And this is what this is all about. Now, most people... Those of us who are old enough will remember 1968 was a pivotal moment in Western history.
Terrible Olympics as well.
Well, that's right. 200 Mexican students were slaughtered the day before the opening of the Olympics by the Mexican Armed Forces, something which hasn't been acknowledged even now, 67 years later. That's
disgraceful.
Yeah. And you had the USA was burning because of race riots, the assassination of Martin Luther King. You had the French student riots across Europe, not just France. You had the Russian invasion or the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia. So it was a period of turmoil. Young people were trying to break out of the dichotomy between the authoritarian communism and authoritarian or corporate capitalism. They were looking for a way forward, and it was described as the new left movement. Now, Peter Norman was just an ordinary bloke, ran fast.
He ran fast,
you know. He got chosen for the 68 Olympics. He turns up, wide-eyed boy, you know, Salvation Army lad. You know, he's wandering the streets. He does his race, can't believe it. He comes second. His coach, Neville Stilter, is watching the race on black and white TV back in Melbourne because he wasn't invited, obviously, not like today. And, and he's wandering around and this black bloke beats him and there's other black blokes... Afro-American, you know, is third, and he's having a chat with him, and they say to him, "Oh, what's your name?" He said, "Peter Norman." He said, "Oh." Then they said to him, "Do you believe in God?" Then they said, "Do you believe in human rights?" Being a Salvation Army lad, he said, "Yeah, yeah." And he says, "Do you know about the Project for Human Rights, the Olympic Project for Human Rights?" And he said, "No." Well, he said, "Look," he said, "Afro-American athletes created this organisation called the Olympic Project for Human Rights for Olympic athletes, or you don't have to be Afro-American, you can be anybody to join, and we're about promoting equality amongst all people. We're about promoting equality." They said, "This is not about a black power struggle. This is a and if you read Tommy Smith's books, he will say over and over again, this was about human rights, not just a black power struggle. So he said, "Oh, yeah, not thinking much about it." And they gave him a badge, and, you know, the next day there comes the medal, that afternoon, I'm not sure, there's the medal ceremony, and they're wandering down. They told him they were going to wear black gloves and give, you know...
The salute.
And Johnny Carlos and Tommy Smith and Peter Norman are walking down to the dais, and Carlos says to Smith, "Did you bring the glove? Did you bring your gloves?" He said, yeah. And Smith says to Carlos, "Did you bring your gloves?" He said, "No, I forgot." So Peter Norman said, and this is a true story, "Why don't you each wear a glove, all right? You know, one on the left hand, one on the right hand, okay? And I'll wear the badge. So there they are, they're standing on the dais, you know, they give their salute. All hell breaks loose. This is 68. White Australia policy in Australia, apartheid in South Africa, the anti-apartheid struggle, race riots, you know, combined
in America. And, Olympics and sports aren't political.
No, they're not political, never political. Ask the Soviet Union that, and the German athletes and their steroids they got injected with. Never political. So, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. Tommy and Carlos are deported back to the States. They're stripped of their medals. They're ostracised. Peter Norman comes back to Australia, and Mr. Patching, who was the Australian Olympic president, goes bananas. The Australian media can't believe that this whippersnapper, you know, has shamed the country. We'll see you on the 24th. Yeah. He's shamed the country. And he was ostracised, pushed around. His marriage broke down, remarried, had more children, died in 2006 in Coburg, right? Because that's where he lived. He lived in Coburg. That's where he was part of the Coburg Athletics Club. So when he died, Tommy Smith and John Carlos turned up at his funeral. in 2006, and they gave the eulogies. And they declared on behalf of the American Track and Field Association that the 9th of October, the day of his funeral, not the day of his death, but the day of his funeral, will be recognised as Peter Norman's Day, Human Rights Day, because of the stand he stood. Because the most important thing to remember is he uttered some very important words when he spoke to them. He said to them, "I will stand with you." And that's the story. Each and every one of us can be Peter Norman. Each and every one of us, every day of our existence, we see things, we hear things that we are unhappy with.
In fact, they've got a statue, haven't they?
Yeah.
Where we've got the two first and third, and a space left for other people to stand on, right?
That's right. In the US, I'm not sure what city, but there is. And they asked Peter Norman, because he was alive, and he said, "Don't you feel insulted?" And he said, No. He said, "This is what it's all about. You know, yeah. I will stand with you." It means each and every one of you can stand in that statue, stand in the middle of Carlos and Smith, have your photograph taken, and you can do what I did. But there were consequences. I won't go through all of them, but what I found fascinating...
They were very vicious, weren't they?
They were vicious. I'll give you an example. You know, this year is the 25th anniversary of the Sydney Olympics. We are told the world's greatest Olympics since the Greeks, all right? Okay. Guess who wasn't invited to the official ceremony? Peter Norman. Now, when the American Track and Field Association realised he hadn't been invited, they invited him into their quarters at the Olympic Village, and he was their guest for the 2 weeks. Isn't that extraordinary?
Yeah.
That is extraordinary. That
had long memories.
And even now, 67, what is it, 50? That's 38. What's 38 and 25? 53. Yeah. Whatever. 57. 57 years later, you get a little group of people, and that's important that we remember, but there are no official ceremonies in this country. There's no politician gets up and speaks about Peter Norman. There's no television programs. There's nothing on the radio. It's as if in a city of 5.5 million people, in a country of 27 million people, what he did is irrelevant. And I think that highlights how far we need to go. So if you are listening to this, just remember, midday, 9th of October, have a Peter Norman Day celebration. You don't have to come to Lakeside Oval. You can organise it in your town, in your city, in your school, in your community, in your nursing home. And pay some respect, not just to the man, but what he stood for.
Thanks, Jared.
So I was an athlete in my teenage years. I played basketball, athletics and football. When I was about 15, I quit playing football just due to a few too many instances of racism. In that same year, I actually had this image in my high school journal. And later on that year, I was nominated for the Pierre de Coubertin Award who was the founder of the modern day Olympics. And yeah, so I went to this presentation to receive this award. And as far as I knew, this a gentleman who came up to me was the president of this committee. He kind of singled me out and was genuinely interested to know who I was. And he said that he was really proud of me in front of my high school principal, who was my biggest fan. And then many years later, I went and watched the Salute documentary by Matt Norman. And then I was trying to think, where do I know this face from? Then I realized it was Peter Norman who presented me this award. And yeah, from there, understanding his story from there, it really stuck with me. And just kind of like, it just kind of revamped my idea of like human compassion, and especially in times of turmoil like 1968. So many, many years later, I think it probably would have been about 10 or so years later, I realized that I came across the same way you guys did, seeing that Peter Norman Day was being celebrated. I came late to the celebration and just decided to give a speech on the spot and just kind of give my understanding of his legacy. Little did I know that I was giving a speech in front of his family, and that's how I came to be a part of the Peter Norman Commemoration Committee. And Peter Norman, in my eyes, is the greatest white Australian who's ever lived, and I think that we should all be doing more to commemorate him. That, like, there should be flocks of people here, yeah. And as Joe said, it's not going to come from the top down. It comes from people like us, and yeah, we just got to. I think everyone here should join the committee, and we should all just, if we all invite 10 people each next year, then we can get this moving and then just make it exponential from there.